I do appreciate everyone being back this evening. Of course, there are those who are out of town, it being a holiday weekend and such, and folks are trying to get away during holidays at times. But as announced this morning, we are meeting. We are gathered together to sing songs of praise unto God, to be able to open the Word of God, read it, to look into it, to hear a sermon proclaimed from that Word. And we're going to talk about something that is needful in the life of everyone, and that is obeying truth and shunning error. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. We know that this is the beloved apostle, given words by the Spirit to write to these brethren. And as he wrote to them, he warned them about some things that they needed to do and the reason that they needed to do it. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You might want to mark that passage as it serves the basis of this particular sermon and also will be referred to on a number of occasions. But we have now finally arrived at the final Sunday evening of the year. It's been a long one, hasn't it? Many of us are contemplating instituting our New Year's resolutions. That's something that many of us participate in, whether they are effective or not. We won't go into that. But perhaps we've started looking at New Year's resolutions and looking at those in the past, and we don't want to do the same things because, hey, they didn't work. We didn't complete them. And we don't want to follow through on some things, or we don't want to do some things that we didn't follow through on the first time. It is quite possible that we've limited ourselves and therefore failing in our thinking as we resolve to do something. Maybe we've been too specific in our resolutions. I'm not going to use anybody else for an example. That's not fair. So I'm going to use myself. For instance, I may resolve to lose 20 pounds in 2025. You know, I've done that before. Not the losing, but the resolving. I have resolved to lose a certain specific amount of weight. And it's amazing. The first month or so, I see progress, and I'm excited, and it's going great. But after failing to make a dent in it after the first few months, I'm just likely to resolve to abandon that resolution. Perhaps I should change my resolution a little bit. Perhaps I should say, I am going to resolve to lose some weight. Probably have a little more chance of being successful, don't I? Now, for the real reason we're here this evening, have you considered that there are spiritual resolutions you can make? I think this is important. We need to think about our spiritual well-being, our spiritual health, our spiritual existence. Examine ourselves. It says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit. We need to also examine ourselves, and we need to say, are we doing what we should do? Are we correcting that which should be corrected? And so I'm going to submit a spiritual resolution this evening. Obey the truth and shun error. That's a pretty broad resolution. But if we can cling more to the truth than we did in the previous year and shun more error than we did in the previous year, we're going to be closer to God. We're going to be in closer fellowship one with another, we're going to be able to serve God and do His will. You know, contrary to popular sentiment, there is truth and there is error. The world is full of people that think as long as they don't think something's wrong, it's okay. But what is error? That which is against what God teaches. What is truth? Thy word is truth. They may be polar opposites, but they still exist. And so we should do everything that we could can to obey the truth and refuse the error. As we return to our text, we see that John instructed the Christians to try the spirits. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, for many false prophets are gone out into the world. You know, there are many Bible words that are used that could have a couple of different applications depending on how they are used. In this text and in this context, we can clearly see when he says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, he's talking about those people who are preaching and teaching, because immediately follows, because there are many false prophets gone out into the world. There were definitely false teachers in the first century, and there are definitely false teachers now. Many are those who think that just because someone gets up into the pulpit that they're going to do their absolute best to preach the truth. But the problem is, what if they don't know the truth? What if they've been indoctrinated in something and been told that it was the truth? I suspect if you bring up a child and you teach that child all of his life that 2 and 2 is 5, that's what he's going to teach when he becomes an adult. Until, or unless, someone instructs him better. Jesus warned about the false teachers of his day in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and following. And those today, and those in the days when 1 John was written, after the church was established, are no different. Notice what Jesus said to those people who would have the influence of those who were false teachers and how they would exert that influence upon them. He said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. In other words, they appear to be a prophet, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And notice verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. And as an example of that, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. If that person is a false teacher, then the fruit that will be produced by his teaching will be falsehood. And as we pointed out this morning, just as verse 19 here says, every tree that bringeth forth not or bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. If you observe a teacher long enough, you can ascertain whether or not that teacher is a false teacher or not. How? Very simple. Lay what they teach side by side with the Word of God. If they do not align perfectly, we have a problem. Paul warned about them. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 through 15. And know that all are to be examined from the same standard. We don't say, well, that person is not a false teacher because he teaches that particular doctrine to those people over there that are involved in that doctrine. No, we have to examine all of them, all of the spirits, to try them on the same level, by the same standard. And that standard is the Word of God. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They wanted to look the part. They wanted to sound the part. They wanted the praise of men as those that they presented themselves as the apostles of Christ. And we shouldn't be surprised about this. Look at verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Have you ever stopped to think about Satan has many, many workers in this world today. In the religious world, there are many who work for Satan, who are deceiving people and getting them to follow that false teaching. But these ministers of Satan, their end will be according to their works. But know this also, all those who follow them will have the same end. In John's day, he dealt directly with those who were known as Gnostics. I think that word means the knowing. The problem is they did not know. And they rejected that Jesus actually came in the flesh. If you look at John chapter 1 and verse 14, we'll see that this attests to the fact, and it also presents the foundation of Christianity. As John is directed to write there in that epistle that bears his name, or that gospel that bears his name, he says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we, the apostles, beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Here were men who spent time with the Son of God. They were with God in the flesh. They were there when Jesus was baptized, and the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Some were there with him in the Mount of Transfiguration, where the God said from heaven, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." In 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, this is confirmed. It provides the information whereby the faithful can be obedient, and where the faithful obedient can be happy, and where the faithful happy obedient can be looking forward to being with the Lord for eternity. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested," or made known, "and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." One of the reasons that we need to try the spirits is so that we can obey the truth, but also that we remain happy. You know, it's never good or never pleasant. It is always good, but it's never pleasant to tell someone that they are in the wrong. It's never pleasant for one to admit that they're in the wrong. But sometimes in trying the spirits, we find out that they are in the wrong. And we want their soul to be saved. And so we tell them. And of course, they have a choice. They can receive it, or they can reject it. First John chapter 4 and verse 3, part of our text, shows that not all will believe or confess that Christ did come. There are those even this day who will question whether or not. Oh, you know, that's a real wonderful story. That's a great Bible story. It's not a Bible story. It's a statement of fact. And if a person has a hard time believing that, how are they going to believe what else the Bible says? But this rejection of Christ, not believing or confessing that Christ did come, began in his own day and continues even today. This is against Christ. That's what the word antichrist means. Oftentimes people have been programmed to believe antichrist meant some big being that is Satan or somebody, some empirical leader or something like that. Notice the way that this is said here. And every spirit, that's every rational soul, that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. It was in the world then, and it continues now. Those that are Antichrist must be identified and exposed as false teachers. Some are going to say, well, if they talk about Jesus, if they teach about Jesus, they're not Antichrist. That's not always the case. If they don't teach what Jesus would have taught, they are Antichrist. If they don't teach what the Word of God teaches, they are Antichrist. Because Christ came to do the will of His Father, to bring salvation to humanity. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Antichrist aren't preaching truth. So what's that going to make you? Try lost. Anything or anyone who is against Christ and His truth is Antichrist. These were and are true Antichrist, according to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 22. Those who deny that Jesus Christ came forth from the dead. Those who question the resurrection. Those who challenge anything that's in the Word of God. There are those who say, well, it's hard for us to understand unless we believe it this way, unless we see it this way. The problem is that a person can misunderstand something if they look at it improperly. But if they compare it with other scriptures, that misunderstanding is going to go away because they're going to be enlightened. 1 John 2 and verse 22 says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And interestingly enough, if you deny one, you've denied them both. But also, as we see from our text, that by obeying the truth and shunning error, Christians have overcome. We sang the song about victory in Jesus. You know, the victory has already been won. The war is ongoing, but the victory has been won. Those who will remain faithful, those who will remain strong, those who continue in the Word, learning and growing. We've already overcome. We've just got to maintain it. And while we maintain it, we will grow. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 explains that those who embrace and follow the true spirit of Christ, obey the truth and shun error, have overcome the Antichrist. But we must continue in this. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Christ is in all who are in Christ, because they put Him there through His Word. Christians demonstrate their rejection of error by obeying the gospel. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the Spirit had Paul state this. He told what the gospel was. He was talking to these people, and he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But this is just the start. Obeying the gospel is just the start. It's not the finality of things. Once one obeys the gospel, they have to continue to shun error. And one has to be born into the kingdom. Then they must continue to overcome. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5 tell us how we overcome the world. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. The world lies in wickedness. That's why we're told, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We understand that means love not sin, nor the things of the sin that is in the world. But we've got to continue. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You ever known someone whose faith faltered? You say, well, can you see it? No, you can't. But you can see the evidence of it. You can see the outcome of it. We have overcome the world, even our faith. Where does faith originate? In the Word of God. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That's why we have to put it all together. That's how we have to understand that we are overcoming. We have overcome by obeying the truth and shunning error. But if we don't continue to overcome, we will ultimately embrace error. Christians must remain diligent, or else they can be swayed by error. It happened a number of different places. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 is one of them. And I suspect that it happened so gradually that some didn't realize it until they were told of it by the Spirit through the pen of Paul. I don't know why people tend to want to get on the edge of things, to see how close they can get to harm. Some people say, oh, there's a thrill in it. And it's not a whole lot of thrill when the harm happens. There's fear. There's pain. But notice what the Apostle Paul was directed to write to these brethren. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. First and foremost, they were called by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. But he says that you are so soon removed from him, from Christ, unto another gospel. Notice verse 7. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. What they did, they added to or they took away from the gospel of Christ and perverted it. They made it something that it should not be. And then verse 8. But though we, an apostle, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. These people needed to be warned. And the punctuation was placed upon it when he warned them the same thing twice. Let him be accursed. As we're talking about obeying the truth and shunning errors, having overcome, have you considered that 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 18 shows that diligent study of and continual adherence to God's word constitutes obedience? I'm afraid that many think that obedience consists of showing up at services every once in a while, or putting a little money in the offering plate, or doing a good deed. And all of these things are good, and all of these things are important, and all of them are found within the word of God. But what is obedience? It is following the word of God. It is keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. There in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. He also says in the account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Every time I read that, I can't help but think, you know, what a blessing it is that God is long-suffering. Because every new day that comes, every new year that starts and continues on into the year is another opportunity for someone to come to a knowledge of the truth and obey the gospel, or someone to return in repentance and prayer, having departed the faith, and that soul can then join those that have overcome. He said, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. This is Peter writing, and he's writing to them about some of the things that Paul had written to them about. Of course, we know that it was from the same source. All scriptures given by inspiration of God, and the Spirit directed each of these men to write. But notice what happened in these things. In verse 16, as also in all of his epistles, speaking of them in them of those things in which are some things hard to be understood. You know, the Bible is a very complicated book. But yet it's a very simple book. Simplicity from God, in that the plan is laid out to where we should not miss it. In the Old Testament, it says it was such that a fool, though a wayfarer, would not err therein. But notice what happens when things are hard to be understood. Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also to other scriptures, unto their own destruction. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying that a scripture is too hard. Or somebody coming to you and say, can you explain this scripture? There's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know that I fully understand it, but let's sit down and let's study it together. Let's work through it. Let's reason together out of the scriptures. And then collectively and individually, we can obey truth and shun error. He says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. We talked about that a little bit this morning, about being steadfast. But we have to obey truth and shun error to be steadfast. Rather, what does he say do in verse 18? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Have you ever grown in knowledge of something? I'm sure you have. We all have different areas in which we are apt to excel. But how did we get that way? We studied. We learned. We experienced. This is what God wants us to do in obey the truth and shun the error so that we might continually overcome, to continue to grow. But not everybody will do that, by the way. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 13 through 15 tells us this. As the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, his young protege, the Spirit had him write these words. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. He was warning them. He was warning Timothy against them. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul had spent time with Timothy. He had taught him. Paul had received directly from the Spirit this information. And also Timothy had an understanding from a youth. In verse 15, and that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. If one is going to obey the truth and shun error and overcome, they have to remain in the scriptures. As overcomers, Christians and Christians alone can claim to be of God. It is sad how many religious people claim to be of God. I'm God's people. I'm one of God's people. I've had people ask me, we are all God's children, aren't we? How do we answer that? What constitutes being a child of God? How does one become a child of God? It's a real starter for a conversation. It could go several different ways. But we, as overcomers, can claim to be of God. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, we see that he speaks of those who are of the world. And notice what they talk about. He says, they are of the world in verse 5. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. What do we speak about? What do we talk about? What do we converse with one another about? He says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You know, we must readily accept that the world, by and large, does not want to hear what the Bible has to say. The world does not want to know. They want to know what's the easy, the easy way to make it to heaven? And there is no easy way. It is one plan, the plan of God. But because these people don't want to readily accept what the world, the Bible has to say, they want us to conform to what they say and what they do. They want us to be like them. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, we see again as the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, and he warns him about the things that were going to happen. The fact that people would continue to reject the Word of God. He said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears." And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. You know, I've been had the experience in several congregations when a preacher would leave for various reasons, maybe health reasons, maybe he was asked to leave or something like that. And the congregation was tasked with finding a new preacher. And I have mentioned several different times that the congregation will find the kind of preacher that they want. And I've had some people argue with me on that. You don't know what you get until you get him in. If you try the spirits, maybe you do. And if it's not the one that you want, the congregation will see to it that they'll get another. But this is what happens when people don't obey the truth, when they don't shun error. What does Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 tell us? "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This is how we overcome. This is how we continue to remain connected with God. And there's going to be opposition. Matter of fact, in John 15, verses 18 through 20, you'll see that the Lord warned his apostles elect about this very thing. He says, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have not kept my sayings, or if they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also." As we overcome, we must continue to strive against the error. We must uphold the truth. You know, God has plainly shown throughout history that there is a huge difference between the two. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, we see the Jews which believed on him, what Jesus said to them. He says, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But there's one aspect of this that we've not looked into this evening. Very quickly, let me mention it. And that is the ability to identify and defeat error. How is it done? By properly utilizing the Word of God. We must train ourselves. This is part of being obedient. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. There were times when these people should have grasped the truth, not held to that which was under the old law. And notice how that they were instructed. It says, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. but strong meat belonging to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We identify what is good and what is evil from the Word of God. But if we don't go into the Word of God, and if we don't use it, and we don't study it, and we don't learn it, we don't grow in the knowledge of Christ, we might not be able to identify what is error, and we might follow it. And if we do, we may have at one time been in close communion with God, but we can forfeit that. You know, some people belittle this, but truth is very valuable. What did the writer of Proverbs say? As the Spirit directed him in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23, he gave some sage advice. Buy the truth and sell it not. Why? Because it's a precious commodity. It is something that will help us to obey. It will help us to shun error. He goes on to say, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. As we enter into this new year or exit this present year, whichever way you want to look at it, let's commit ourselves to obey truth and shun error. And if we do it just a little more than we did in the previous year, we're going to be closer to God. We're going to be closer to one another. We're going to find time to spend time in the Word of God. We're going to prepare ourselves for eternity. There are those who have not yet prepared, and perhaps some of them do not know how to prepare for eternity. First, they must become obedient. And they say, to what? There's a starting point for everything. They must obey the gospel. And it's a very simple plan. In John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45, Jesus said that we must hear. He said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. They must also believe. In fact, we are to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we cannot believe, we will not believe unless we have faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. One must also repent. That's to repent of past sin. We can't repent of something we've not done yet. We can't be forgiven of something we've not done yet. But we must repent. Jesus said in Luke 13:3-5, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And we must confess that Christ is the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, Simon Peter very quickly answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And one must be baptized into Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. We know this is not the washing of the body because it clearly says here. But it is cleansing our soul because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then we must remain faithful. You know, if we're going to obey the truth and shun error, we have to remain faithful. How do you do that? A very, very simple plan. And Paul put it forth as the Spirit gave him direction in 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. That's what it is. Each has to control themselves. Obey truth. Shun error. He says, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And then, perhaps there are those who have done these things but yet not remained faithful, have not kept under their body, had not kept it into subjection. There's a plan for that as well. But sometimes people need to be reminded of that plan. And 2 Timothy 2:25 and 26 shows both sides of that coin. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And verse 26, the erring child of God, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. How? Very simple. Repent and pray. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Have you obeyed the truth? If not, you need to. Have you shunned error? If not, we need to. And if you've allowed sin in your life and you have unrepented sin in your life, you need to come back. You need to yield your will to His. We're going to stand and we're going to sing the selected hymn. We're going to sing hymn number 360, verses 1 and 2. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come? Let us stand and let us sing.